You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Three books, for we want to deliver unto you a multi-text topical sermon this morning. I want you to turn to the Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter, 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and Hebrews, the 11th chapter. While you're doing that, I want to acknowledge the angel of this house, our pastor, Pastor Charles Schweiman. Thank God for him for blessing me with this opportunity. By the grace of God, I truly appreciate his leadership. We shall continue to keep him lifted in prayer. I can't say that I know how he feels. That's between him and God. But I do sympathize with him and the passing of his mother. I know a little bit about that, so we're certainly praying for him and the entire Twyman family. To all the preachers that are present and to all the deacons, it's a blessing. It is truly a blessing for us to be here. If you have the Gospel according to John, we want to read three verses from that 14th chapter, beginning at verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Yes, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I want to rehearse in your ears again that third verse. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Yes, and from 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. Yes, a wonderful, wonderful passage of Scripture offering to the believers, yes, hope. That 13th verse. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. And from Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Yes. Very familiar passage. Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith, yes, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Our topic, hope. Hope. Yes, yes, Lord. We're living in a time where the church should be encouraged by exercising true hope in the Word of God, the promises of God, and the assurance of our salvation. We have hope. The interesting thing about this topic is the fact that when we look at our society today, there are those who have lost hope. The general conversation that I encounter in my daily walk is anxiety and concern about the state of America and this entire world. Yes, Lord. And the tragic thing about it, watch it, Reverend Register. The tragic thing about it is the fact that people are concerned about one man. The airwaves are flooded. Yes. The media is overwhelmed about President Trump. Trumpology. My Bible teaches me, yes, thank you, Jesus. My Bible teaches me that in God, in Him we live, move, and have our being. And any individual that is, yes, full of anxiety and worry is just like a corpse. Their lives are meaningless if you have no hope. Hope is a feeling of expectation and desire, yes, for certain things to happen. Aspiration, achieving something, a goal to reach an objective. Yes, yes. Expectation. That is strong belief that something can be achieved. Talking about hope. Yes, 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 yes. Hope is a belief, yeah, in a positive outcome related to events, yes, and circumstances in one's life. Yes, it is. Hope implies, yes, it does, a certain amount of perseverance, consistency, steadfastness, commitment, believing that a positive outcome is possible. Even, yes, even when there is some evidence to the contrary. But still, there is hope. Yes, 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 yes. Hope is interpreted either as an individual attitude, get this now, an individual attitude, or as an embedded trait. It's all about your thinking. It's all about the quality of one's character. Hope. Hope is, yes, determined in significant ways. It's determined by a person's character. It's determined by one's behavior. It's determined by one's well-being. You see, an attitude towards the future. Everyone has or should have hope in someone or something. Yes, yes. Can I labor just a little bit more with hope? Hope is an objective action. Yes, yes, yes. I thank God for the man of God reminding us that we have hope. Hope will cause you to get up off the stool of do nothing. Watch out, Reverend Register. And become actively involved in an objective future. Yes, yes. Hope, I tell you. So, here's the question. Yes, we should be motivated by aspiration, goals, and expectation. But the question is, who or what, yes, is the object of your hope? Think about that this morning, if you will. Is it your professional career? Is it your non-professional career? Is it the pursuit of wealth? Or the affiliation with some organization or institution? The question is, who or what is the object of your hope? Is your hope a fantasy? Simply denoting an impossibility or probability. If it's an impossible hope, it is not capable of happening. If it's a probable hope, it is not likely to be true, yes, or real. It is at best questionable or uncertain. But if it's divine hope, the foundation of your hope is God, truth, and righteousness. Our focus this morning is on two communities. Yes, the non-Christian community and the Christian community and their objective. The object of one's hope. I'm reminded of an institution titled Focus Hope. It's a Detroit-based non-denominational, non-profit organization whose hope and aim is to overcome racism. Keep in mind, now racism is prejudice, discrimination, or antagonism directed against someone of a different nationality. Based upon the belief that one nationality is superior or better than another. Yes, 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 yes. So this organization is talking about overcoming racism. Well, I have a problem with that. My problem is, as long as man been in existence, there has always existed racism, prejudice, simply because of the very nature of every last one of us in here. We was born of our parents. David put it this way, behold, I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Every last one of us are sin-natured creatures. And since we're sin-natured creatures, brother preachers, we are characterized by our prejudices, selfishness, jealousies, hatred. Yes, yes, watch out, Reverend Register. Lust and et cetera. Sin-natured creatures. So this non-profit organization whose hope and aim is to overcome racism and to overcome poverty, yes, and provide education and training for the underprivileged minorities and others. We get excited about that. We're overwhelmed by we want to overcome racism. But in the church, in the local assemblies, we are combating schisms, prejudices, and hatred towards one another. Reverend Jesse Jackson, a religious leader of the civil rights and a civil rights activist and political figure who organized an organization known as PUSH, People United to Serve Humanity. Yes, and the Rainbow Coalition. He combined the two and established the Rainbow PUSH Coalition, a multiracial, get this now, a multiracial, multi-issue progressive international membership organization fighting for social change. And since America has been in existence, organizations have been fighting for social change. Their mission is to protect, defend, and gain civil rights by leveling the economic and educational playing fields and to promote peace. Now, these are great institutions doing great community work to help many people. I'm not knocking that. They strive to achieve their economic and educational goals. They are parents and families doing likewise, and anybody that is striving for a quality life, I applaud you. Don't get me wrong about that. But I'm here to tell you the truth. Their hopes and goals are vain. It's good to strive for quality life, but why not strive for a qualifying life? In Jesus Christ, what qualifies you in Jesus Christ? He had them to understand when he was discussing with his disciples in this same chapter of the gospel according to John, that 14th chapter. He had them say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You must be born again. And if you're born again, rather than to live a quality life, you can live a qualified life in Jesus Christ. And your hopes and goals will not be vain. I'm here to remind you, if they are not built and centered on Christ, they are vain. Well, let's see. Jesus in his discourse in Matthew, the 16th chapter, the 26th verse, said, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Oh, it's good to have financial wealth, but I, yes, wouldn't rather have financial security in Christ Jesus. My Bible teaches me, and I told my wife this, and I continue to labor in this, that I'm rich. Yes, I am. I'm a rich Christian. Well, what do you mean, Reverend Register? I'm glad you asked. I'm a child of the King. My Father, my Heavenly Father, he owns the whole world. He made it. Rather than the trust in the finances, you get sick. I ain't never seen a dollar bill wipe nobody's head. I would rather have confidence in the prayers of the righteous and the one who made the doctor and the medicine. Yes, I'm rich in the Lord. My wife say I'm not, but I am. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they who dwell therein. When we don't know Christ, we make choices as though this life ends at death. However, this life is just the beginning of eternity. How we choose to live this life, this brief time. Yes, someone said it's just a vapor on this earth, determines our eternal state. Therefore, saints, we should carefully evaluate our lifestyle from an eternal perspective. And you will discover the importance of what you value and what decisions you make in life. And when you do, you just might change your perspective. What can you possibly, listen to me, what can you possibly accumulate on earth that is more valuable than the eternal state of your soul? In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon wrote that after he had tried everything and achieved much in life, he discovered that nothing beside God made him happy and complete. Trying to find meaning and happiness in our accomplishments of wealth is vain compared to God's blessing. Yes, the pastor just told us you can't beat God-giving. And I know I'm right about it. You want to be blessed? Trust God. Give your tithes. Bring your tithes. Yes, daily, every time you receive an increase, and watch God work in your life. I'm a witness. Be generous in your giving and the support of those that stand in need, and watch God work in your life. I'm a witness. I know what I'm talking about. Matter of fact, in that first chapter of Ecclesiastes, Solomon labored to declare vanity of vanity. All is vanity. Yeah, so he finally comes to a conclusion. In Ecclesiastes, that 12th chapter, verses 13 and 14, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Let me say that again. Fear God, reverence God, worship God, and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Trust God, saints. I beg you, trust him. You can't go wrong in trusting God. So you see, Paul reminds us in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he denotes that there are three great qualities in life: faith, hope, and charity. And he reminds us that the greatest of these three is love. Our text in the 14th chapter, Jesus prepares a place for a prepared people, a prepared people of hope. You see, the acronyms for hope is simply having optimistic perspective eternally. Confident hope. What God has for a prepared people in heaven. Because we know that our future destination and salvation are secure in Christ. First Peter, yes, Lord, watch yourself, register. First Peter, the first chapter, and that third and fourth verse reminds us, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. Yes, thank you, Jesus. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who have put your trust in the true and living God. Yes, glory to God. Watch out, Reverend Register. We have encouragement because Peter's words offer joy and hope in times of trouble. We're living in times of trouble where the hearts of men have waxed cold. We want to go into the cesspool and call wrong right and right wrong. Yes. And he bases his confidence on what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Our hope is not only for the future. Eternal life begins when we trust Christ and join God's family. I'm here to tell you today, trust God and join God's family and live a wonderful life of expectation and assurance. I'm simply talking about genuine hope. in 1 Thessalonians, that fourth chapter, he talks about genuine hope, which distinguished the Christian from unbelievers who has no hope. The Thessalonians were wondering what happens to the believers who had died, and what would happen to the dead when Christ returns. Paul wanted them to understand that death is not the end. Thank you, Jesus. It's not the end of the story. The great hope of the believer is resurrection unto life in Jesus Christ. When he comes back, I wonder, are you looking for him? Hope for believers is in the resurrection, because Jesus came back to life. So will all believers. Now, in Hebrews 11th chapter, the Hebrew word for hope signifies to wait with expectation or confident expectancy. It denotes faith is the key that makes our hope a reality. This chapter highlights for us, thank you, Jesus, the heroes of faith by recording for us their great experiences. You see, faith is a commitment to one's belief, which is their conviction. Look what it have us to understand in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and that 7th verse. It denotes by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, yes, moved with godly conviction, prepared an ark, yes, and saved his household. In that 8th verse, by faith, Abraham obeyed God, yes, took up his family and moved to a place that he didn't see or know about. Yes, glory to God. In the 11th chapter, in that 6th verse, it reminds us, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Glory to the Lamb of God. I'm reminded of a story, if you will, of a man at the bus stop. He had worked all week long, and he was preparing to go to work on Friday. You know, the eagle flies on Friday. And he got up that morning looking to make his journey. But when he got up, he heard the news of a winter storm sweeping the land. There was about 2 feet of snow on the ground. There were blizzard conditions. Yes, and it was snowing, and wind chill was Arctic weather. But nevertheless, he called, yes, the dispatcher. And when he called the dispatcher of transportation, he wanted to know if the bus was running today. They told him, yeah. Look at his conviction. He believed the dispatcher. So he started out on his journey to the bus stop to get his transportation, to get his paycheck, to feed his family, and to be rewarded for his labor. So at the bus stop, he stood there in the brisk cold. He stayed right there looking for the bus. He kept on looking, and he stayed right there hoping for the bus to arrive. Well, after a while, he saw in the distance the lights of the bus, coming to his location. He was excited and he leaped for joy. I'm simply telling you the moral of the story. Jesus is the foundation of our hope. He is the vehicle that carries us from earth to heaven. And faith, I tell you, is the ticket that certifies our place on Zion's bus. Glory to the Lamb of God. And hope keep us anchored on our commitment, regardless of the circumstances or condition. Glory to the Lamb of God. I'm reminded of Paul's declaration of encouragement to his son Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. He said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not only to me, but unto all them also that love his appearance." Glory to the Lamb of God. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground, I tell you, is sinking sand. Glory to the Lamb of God. Look at the Lord, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, left his home in glory, traveling down through 42 generations. Glory to the Lamb of God. Stopped off in Bethlehem, tabernacled around here 33 long years, giving sight to the blind, healing the sick, causing the lame to walk, raising the dead. That same Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane, where the mob crowd took him, marched him from judgment hall to judgment hall for you and I. I tell you, it's in the record. They placed the crown of thorns on his head and marched him up Golgotha's hill for you and I. That same Jesus never said a mumbling word. They took his hands, nailed his hands, riveted his feet, raised him up between two thieves. He stayed there for you and I. But oh, after a while, he hung his head in the locks of his shoulder, gave up the ghost. They took him down, buried him in a borrowed tomb. But early, I tell you, early on the third day morning, that same Jesus got up from the grave. Glory to the Lamb of God. But it's not over. They tell me he boarded a cloud. The angels declare, "Don't stare looking, but keep looking." That same Jesus is coming back.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.